Doesn't matter, sir. We got you a prisoner. Fantastic! One of the sequestrated ones? Murphy glanced over his shoulder. Jacqueline Couture was sitting on the deck with her back to the wheelhouse. She gave him a dour stare. I think so, sir. She can interfere with our electronics if we give her half a chance. She's got to be watched constantly. Okay. When can you give her back in... Kelvin Solanke's data vise vanished under a peal of static. The communications block reported the channel was lost. Murphy picked up his TIB carbine and pointed it at Jacqueline Couture. Is that you? She shrugged. No. Murphy looked back at the fire on the bank. They were half a kilometer away now. People were walking along the shoreline where the Issachar had been anchored. The big cherry oak was still standing, intact, a black silhouette against the blanket of flame. Can we affect our electronics from here? We don't care about your electronics, she said. Such things have no place in our world. Are you talking to them? No. Sir, Garrett yelled. Murphy swung around. The people on the shore were standing in a ring holding hands. A large ball of white fire emerged from the ground in their midst and curved over their heads, soaring out across the river. Down! Murphy shouted. The fireball flashed overhead, making the air roll from its passage, bringing a false daylight to the boat. Murphy ground his teeth together, anticipating the strike, the pain, as it vaporized his legs or spine. There was a clamorous boom from behind the wheelhouse. The boat rocked violently, and the light went out. "Oh, shit! Oh, shit!" Garrett was crying. "What is it?" Murphy demanded. He pulled himself onto his feet. The boxy wooden structure behind the wheelhouse was a smoking ruin. Fractured planks with charred edges pointed vacantly at the sky. The microfusion generator it had covered was a shambolic mass of heat-tarnished metal and dripping plastic. "You will come to us in time," Jacqueline Couture said calmly. She hadn't moved from her sitting position. "We have no hurry." The Issachar drifted round a bend in the river, water gurgling idly round the hull, pulling the fire from view. A duet of night and silence closed over the boat, a void surer than vacuum. Aeone wore a gown of rich blue-green silk gauze, a single strip of cloth which clung to her torso, then flared and flowed into a long skirt. It forked around her neck, producing two ribbon-like tassels that trailed from each shoulder. Her hair had been given a damp look. It was bound up and held in place at the back by an exquisite red flower brooch, its tissue-thin petals carved from some exotic stone. A long platinum chain formed a cobweb around her neck. The trouble with looking so elegant, Joshua thought, was that part of him just wanted to stare at her, while the other part wanted to rip the dress to shreds so he could get at the body beneath. She really did look gorgeous. He ran a finger round the collar on his own black dinner jacket. It was too tight, and the butterfly tie wasn't straight. "Leave it alone," Ione said sternly. "But leave it, it's fine." He dropped his hand and glowered at the lift's door. Two tranquility sergeants were in with them, making it seem crowded. The door opened on the 25th floor of the St. Owen starscraper, revealing a much smaller lobby than usual. Paris Veselovsky's apartment took up half of the floor, his offices and staff quarters took up the other half. "Thanks for coming with me," Joshua said as they stood in front of the apartment door. He could feel the nerves building in the base of his stomach. This was the real big time he was bidding for now, and Ione on his arm ought to impress Paris Veselovsky. Precious little else would. "I want to be with you," Ione murmured. He leant forward to kiss her. The muscle membrane opened, and Dominique was standing behind it. She had chosen a sleeveless black gown with a long skirt and a deep, high-revealing V-neck. Her thick, honey-blonde hair had been given a slight wave, curling around her shoulders. Broad scarlet lips lifted in appreciation as she caught the embrace. Joshua straightened up guiltily, though his errant eyes remained fixed on Dominique's cleavage. A host of memories started to replay through his mind without any assistance from his neural nanonics. He'd forgotten how impressive she was.